Hello again and welcome to the program. We're here with some encouragement and some exhortation. Now let me take a moment to explain that. Encouragement, according to the dictionary, is the act of encouraging confidence and hope. When the Bible talks about hope, as we've said many times before, it's not saying, well, I really hope this happens. It's not a question. It's the word really means expectation. And so we want to use this program to be an encouragement, to encourage confidence and expectation in the Word of God. And then we have the exhortation. That is, according to the dictionary, an act of challenging someone to do something. And the Bible has both. It has encouragement and has exhortation, and we need to have a balance on both of these things. Encouragement really deals with what we need to be, and the exhortations, sometimes they're just to encourage us, and sometimes they're warnings about what we need to do. Now, our series here is The Last Mile of the Way. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. All of us, if we're Christians, doesn't matter whether we're pastors or whatever we're doing in life, we have received a ministry of the Lord. And in these perilous times we're living in, we need to make sure that we finish our course with joy. Now we're going to go through the book of Colossians. We did some of this in a previous program, but we're going to go back to verse 1 and start over again. And here in verse 1, we read Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, or Timothy, our brother. Now we have these two men. They lived a couple of thousand years ago. They lived their life. They made their choices. And now, for the last 2,000 years, they've been glad they made the choices that they did. However, in every circumstance, in every situation through the Word of God, God has always had someone to help the remnant. Now, there's always been a remnant. For the most part, the world does not listen to what God has to say. And for the most part, people who call themselves Christians don't either. But there's a remnant. There's those that say, I want to do right regardless of anything or anybody. I just want to do what God wants me to do. So God has always had someone to help the remnant. The problem is, as you go through the Word of God, you'll find in most circumstances people don't listen to the warnings. Well, why warn them? Because God says to. It's not our responsibility to get people to obey the Word of God. Our responsibility is to simply encourage and exhort, to warn, and to say, here's what the Bible says, and that's all we need to do. Now, in most circumstances, God's people didn't listen. We have the situation with Noah and Jeremiah and the disciples and Paul the Apostle. Concerning Noah, the focus is on the world. They didn't listen. But with Jeremiah, the disciples, Paul the Apostle, God's people didn't listen. And apostasy, which is where we are now, is when God's people don't listen anymore. And so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Over 20 times, Paul focuses on that phrase. We find it in his writings, the will of God, over 20 times. Him and Timothy said, yep, we want the will of God. Now, we read in Psalm 143, a great prayer. We ought to all be praying it. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprighteousness. Teach me to do thy will. And we need to do God's will, and we need to do God's will, God's way. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, before we begin again, we want to take a moment here and think about what we need to be. And we need to be in the area where we can honestly pray this prayer. And this hymn is a prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. So before we look into this book of Colossians any further, Take time to sing along with this message and song and make it your earnest and honest prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never
begins here in verse number 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colosse, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he writes to the saints and the faithful. Not all saints are faithful. Colossians 1:2 here, he talks about the faithful brethren. Colossians 1:7, Epaphras, he was a faithful minister of Christ. Colossians 4:7, Titus, however you want to pronounce that name, a faithful minister. And then in 4 and 9, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. We get into Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7 back there. It talks about Moses, who is faithful. Galatians 3:9 refers to Abraham as being faithful. 1 Samuel 2:35 talks about a faithful priest. And in 1 Samuel 22:14, who is so faithful as David? There's all kinds of scriptures that talk about those who are faithful. You can find scriptures about the faithful man, the faithful ambassador, the faithful messenger, the faithful servant. That's found in Matthew 24, where it's talking about the end time and where we're living then. And Jesus asked the question, who then is that faithful servant? Psalm 12:1, We read, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Proverbs 20:6, a faithful man who can find. And so we have the saints and we have the faithful. The question is, we need to honestly go before the Lord and ask, which one am I? Am I just a saint, or am I faithful in this age in which we are living? Now, as we go the last mile of the way, and we're definitely there now, if you read the news and read the Bible, you can see we're at the end of the age. He talks about grace and peace. We need grace. That's the desire and the ability to do God's will. The Bible talks about saving grace. It talks about sustaining grace. Here, it means the desire and the ability to do God's will during this last mile of the way. And as we do it, we need to have peace that passes understanding. Now, Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God. In other words, we can have this as a byproduct, or we can reject it. When the word, we look at the word rule here, actually the word means umpire or referee. If you watch a hockey game and all of a sudden the referee blows his whistle and points to the guy and points to the penalty box and says, "Go sit down, think about what you've done." If we do not have the peace of God, then that's the referee. That's God saying, "Hey, sit in the penalty box here for a little while and consider why not." Because it's promised. Even though we're in these troublesome days, we can have that peace that passes understanding. It is there. It is paid for at Calvary. In verse 3, Paul said, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Now, Paul's in prison when he sent that letter to these people he hadn't even met. And he says, "We give thanks, praying always for you." He wasn't sitting in a dungeon feeling sorry for himself, but he's praying for others. James 5:16 says, "Pray one for another." Job, interesting verse here in chapter 42 and verse 10. "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." Now, with friends like he had, he didn't need any enemies. They were not friends in the Bible definition of that term. So what was Job's responsibility? Pray for those. The Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication for all saints," not just the ones that we get along with. "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, if you're going to stand for the Lord, you're going to face some persecution. It's an interesting thing, this day and age in which you live. I don't get it yet. I think it's coming. Persecution is coming for anybody who stands for the Lord from outside. But most of the persecution I get right now is from people who call themselves Christians, and especially those who call themselves fundamentalists. Why? Because I dare to preach the truth they used to preach, and they don't preach anymore. Well, there's a remnant out there to say, "Praise the Lord, Brother Kirkland, keep on, your voice crying in the wilderness." I pray for those people, really. See, but those that despitefully use me and persecute me, I need to learn to pray for them as we travel the last mile of the way. Then in verse 4 and 5, Paul says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Now, three things he says here. He talks about faith, love, and hope. Faith is what we believe. And we say we believe a lot more, but do we live it out? They did in Coloss. Love, that's focusing on others. And expectations, that's focusing on the future. Now notice the word, the truth here, that phrase. The truth has now become the new hate law. If you preach the truth about what the Bible says about sodomites, you're hating all those people. No, we're just preaching the truth. If you preach the truth about abortion, if you preach the truth about anything anymore, the truth, which is the word of God, has now become hate in the eyes of the world. And so as we travel this last mile of the way, fasten your seatbelts. There's going to be some persecution unless you're one of those turncoats that'll just go ahead and compromise and stay out of trouble. The truth, Ephesians 5:9 says, the fruit of the Spirit is the truth. And so Paul said, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord. We have all received the ministry of the Lord if we're Christians. However, one of the things that is common for every one of us, whether we're pastors, whether we're parents, whether we're plumbers, or whatever we are, if you're a Christian, one thing we have in common that we need to finish our course with is the truth. The truth. Daniel, we read in Daniel 7:19, he prayed and said, I would know the truth. Now we need to honestly pray that prayer. Now, if you're going to pray that prayer, you might have to be ready to change your mind on something. You have a conclusion about what you think is right music and wrong music. You have a conclusion about what you think is separation and non-separation. Daniel said, I would know the truth. Are we willing to honestly say, Lord, I just want the truth? Well, in response, we read that God said, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. He said, I am coming. You want the truth? I'm going to give it to you. So we have the book of Daniel that relates with Revelation tremendous, because he said, honestly, I would know the truth. And so when we look at the situations today, should we be defying the government and holding meetings with as many people as we have in our churches? Should we be listening to them when they say we can only have so many? What should we be doing? The thing is to go to the Lord, never mind what your friends think. Go to the Lord and say, I would know the truth. I would know the truth. I would set my heart to understand. Now, the situation is, the thing about truth, it comes in a package. Proverbs 23, we read, buy the truth and sell it not, because if you sell it, you're going to sell wisdom and instruction and understanding with it. And that's one of the reasons why so few who call themselves fundamentalists seem to understand. Why? Because they won't stand with the truth of something that is more simple. And so we have the truth, wisdom, instruction and understanding, all part of the package. Is that found in the Bible? Yes, it is. What did Solomon, the fellow who had all the, he had the greatest wisdom of anybody in the world at his time. And what did he say in Ecclesiastes 2:15? As it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. How dieth the wise man? He said, as a fool. Well, what happened to your wisdom? He rejected the truth in several places. God said kings were not to have harems. He had a harem. God said kings were not to get horses and chariots and fight the battles. God would fight the battles. No, he did what everybody in the world was doing. And today we're living in an age when we set aside the truth to do what they're doing in the world. In verse 6, he said, the truth, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The Bible says very plainly, the fruit of the Spirit is truth. It bringeth forth fruit. And so, the last mile of the way, are we going to stand for the truth? Verse 7 and 8, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So we need to be a faithful minister in the last mile of the way. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And in our next broadcast, we're going to look at what Paul was praying for these people. And I put this little icon here, this little house, put a cross on it. Why? Because that's where they were meeting. It was a meeting, it says that right in the book of Colossians, the church in their house. Truth of the matter is, everything that was written in the New Testament was written when they were meeting in houses. They didn't have the fancy buildings. I'm not too sure our fancy buildings have helped us much. They started out in, you know, hiding from the Caesar, hiding from the government, in houses and caves even, and we're going to end the same way if the Lord Terry isn't coming back. If he doesn't come back soon, we're going to have to go underground. It's getting serious, and that's what this series is all about. What should we be doing during this age in which we are living in? Once again, let's conclude with this message in song, Teach Me Thy Will, O Lord, Teach Me Thy Way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea. Thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon in thee to find sweet rest.